Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Crops. Mary Pat will not be joining me this week. She and Josh took some much needed time away from the farm and enjoyed the Commodity Classic. Levi and I were kind of sad we couldn't join this year.
Right.
Levi's joining me, by the way.
Yes, I'm Levi, not MP.
I was really back and forth on going to the Commodity Classic this year. I was actually really planning on going. And then when it came down to it, we just had some family stuff going on in the background and too much things on the farm. It just didn't feel right to leave. So Levi and I decided to stay home.
It's one of those deals. It would have been fun to go, but it's like, man, I don't know how I would have made it work with all the stuff I got done. And I pulled a calf and
wow. So that calf would have died if we went, well, is what you're saying.
I don't know about that, but it was chances would have been greater of complications.
We love going to the Commodity Classic, and every time we've gone, we've both said, that was amazing, that was incredible. It's such a progressive farm show, and we just have always made great connections and learned such great things. We're always glad we go, but then inevitably, our travel home is an actual crapshoot. We've had some of our worst travel experiences coming home from the Commodity Classic, and it's always during calving season. So Levi's always a little bit extra stressed, but
Let's not ruin a good day. We got to move on.
Okay. So I guess I can't wait to hear what Josh and MP took away from the classic this year, because it's an incredible show. Levi and I are going to kind of dabble in something new we're bringing to the podcast called Farmer Hot Takes, unless we can come up with a better name for it.
Oh.
I really haven't briefed Levi on anything, so he didn't really do any research on these topics I'm bringing to him. He knows the three topics that I picked. So what you're going to hear is just our own personal opinions and dialogue, and you can just take everything we say as just a farmer's opinion and take it from there.
Yeah.
What do you want to start with, Levi? You want me to surprise you?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. So on February 6th of this year, the U.S. District Court of Arizona vacated the 2020 registration for over-the-top dicamba products, meaning that back in 2020, they were going to restrict dicamba use, but then there was a ruling that said that farmers could still use it. And in February, the Court of Arizona said, we're vacating that. We don't think that farmers should be using the over-the-top dicamba anymore. So when this came out, actually MP texted me and said, oh my goodness, what do you think about this? And I said, well, I have a lot of feelings. I asked Levi, though, how do you feel about it? And what did you say?
Why don't you brief everybody just a little bit what dicamba is?
Oh, you're right. You're right. Well, Farmer Levi, why don't you tell us what dicamba is?
Well, it's a herbicide used primarily in soybeans. Just another mode of action to kill weeds. And to be honest, in our area, a lot of it gets used, and there's really not many problems that come from it. Everybody's very careful with it. And it's not like it's a big thing to, oh my, you know, it's nothing to be scared of.
Pretty much you have to use dicamba in our area, because if you plant soybeans that can handle the dicamba, and then so when it's sprayed, then your soybeans don't die from the dicamba, only the weeds growing in the fields die. There's other, like I know Liberty is another similar option, correct?
Liberty's actually a lot different. Actually, some soybeans have dicamba and Liberty tolerance. Okay. You can use both of them on the same soybeans. Like where you get into where it gets fuzzy is the, you know, soybeans that do not have the dicamba gene in them,
and which would be
cup know, up. So
what soybeans don't have the dicamba gene? Are those Enlist?
Enlist do not. Enlist have the Liberty gene, but not
the dicamba gene.
Yeah. The like Extend Flex soybeans, those have dicamba and Liberty gene. It gets confusing fast.
So in our area, pretty much everybody uses dicamba, because if you're not using that and then dicamba sprayed in the air, your beans might cup. They might not. It's not going to kill the beans from the drift, but it's definitely going to maybe make the plant a little bit weaker for a few days.
Yeah, it prolongs shading more than anything. It's like stunts their growth. What beans are funny sometimes. Stunting their growth makes them better. So it's weird.
So me knowing that dicamba is pretty much all that we use in this area, I was a little bit like, oh, what's going to happen from this? But Levi's reaction kind of surprised me.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, we can make it work either way. Yeah. I would like to see it stay around.
Your exact words were, I'm not scared.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. I feel like they'll figure it out. This is, you know, going to give them time. But I don't know. I did talk to kind of my chemical guy and stuff, and he said that companies are not taking any of the product back. Like, if you have any extra, they're not going to take it back. So it might actually be the this might be the last hoorah. So I don't know if any company that, or like co-op that has it, they're going to let everybody use it all out and everything. And so like this year is probably going to go on pretty well in like normal business, but next year could look a lot different.
So there was about a week, 8 days of, I don't know, Levi wasn't panicking, but maybe some people might've been panicking like, oh no, we've already spent all of our money on our dicamba products. Now they're saying we might not be able to use them. Levi said he wasn't scared. And then on February 14th, the EPA issued an existing stocks order for dicamba products, saying that if you have existing stock, you've already placed your order, the chemical co-op has it in place, you are still licensed to use it over the top on your crops this growing season. And so Levi was kind of like, Jenna, I told you I wasn't scared. It's going to be fine.
Right.
So let's say hypothetically, this is the last year for dicamba. What does it look like next year for farmers in our area?
The seed companies will come out with something new again. I don't know. No, there'll be a lot more liberty used, and you got to get really good with your pre, you know, and keep, you know, just dicamba just worked really well. So you could kind of do whatever and it would kill the weeds. Mm-hmm. So you just, you know, I don't know. You just got to know ahead of time what you're going to do. And I would just say, just have a plan and, you know, you got to plan for success or you will no plan and plan to fail.
So when Mary Pat first messaged me about this saying, what are your feelings? I said, well, I have a lot of feelings. Like, yes, that's huge for our farm because that is the product that we use. But in the same breath, my maybe unpopular opinion in this neck of the woods is that I don't think that these checks and balances and keeping tabs and making sure that the chemicals that we are using are safe and effective is a bad thing. There's chemicals that your dad and grandpa use that we farmers aren't allowed to use anymore. And that's because there was testing and checks and balances that went into place. And so I don't think it's a bad thing that these things are being constantly reviewed and that we're just making sure that everything that we do put into our soil and spray on our crops is safe for the environment, because nobody wants to preserve the land and the environment more than farmers. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that third parties are helping us keep tabs on that, I guess.
I would just like to add that me seeing it and using it, I've never seen anything negative to the environment by using this product.
And what do you, like, how would you say that you've never seen?
Oh, anything? Like it was killing off target species or things or whatever, like everything. It checks out. It's a good product and it was been used correctly in this area, and I've never seen any trouble from it. Yeah.
And I do think it's important to note that farmers do take extensive classes in education, and Levi has to get a permit and certified to spray anything on our crops. So they're pretty well versed in safe handling and safe use of all of the products that we put on our crops. Enough about dicamba. You ready for the next one, Levi?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So give us your take on online land auctions.
I don't like them.
Online land auctions, we feel like, are the death of land being passed on to generations and the death of young farmers being able to start out farming.
Here's the deal. If someone wants to buy land, you should be able to, you should have to do it like you did in the early 90s or the late 80s. You seek it out, do your research, get in the area you want to purchase it, and find it and buy it yourself and
attend
work.
A physical, yes, auction in person.
In person. It's a whole experience in and of itself to sit behind a desk and click on a web page and on a piece of ground that you've never seen or even been within 100 miles of. I mean, it's happening. I'm not going to change it, but that's just my opinion.
I think we have such a negative connotation towards online land auctions because, yeah, we're young rural farmers, and the land that goes for sale around us, if it goes on an online land auction, we can pretty much guarantee that we are not going to have any chance of purchasing that because our pockets are not deep enough to outbid some big investor on the East Coast or Bill Gates or any of those big billionaires that are constantly buying up farm ground. There's just no way that young farmers like us can compete against that. So
you just become so far removed from it if you're across the United States or even like a foreign country buying it. I don't like that either. And it just keeps opening the gate to all that. So I just like the good old traditional land auction. You know, there's flyers within 50 miles. Maybe it's advertised on the local radio station and, you know, 30, 40, maybe 50 farmers show up in a community building and they have an auction.
Yeah. That's the way it should be. Maybe we're a little bit old fashioned for that, but it's just almost a little bit terrifying as young farmers to see when pieces of ground go up for sale around us, that it's not somebody we know buying it. It's somebody from a state that we'll probably never even meet in our lifetime.
Right. And then when that happens, like those people just don't know anything about the ground and what kind of nutrients and, you know, water, you know, restrictions or different things you might have. And it's just makes the whole process a lot harder to, you know, go about forward, you know, producing a good crop on that or, you know, it's really tough.
It is tough. We have great relationships with our landlords and most of them just trust Levi to make great decisions for the land. But a landowner that hasn't met the farmer and isn't in the area and doesn't know how things work, they might manage it a little bit differently. And then I think that's what could be scary is now all of this farm ground is being managed by somebody that has never necessarily set foot on a farm or know how the farm and soil works in our area.
Time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell for sure. Okay. Are you ready for, do you have anything else to say about online land auctions?
That's really it. I mean, we're not going to stop it. I realize that. And I know some people probably think they're great, but you know, it's just my opinion. It's nice. I'm not saying that I'm going to buy it all. It's just nice to see, the younger generation people, you know, getting a chance or a fair shake. Because a lot of times at a land auction like that, if it gets to a fair purchase price and a young guy is bidding on it, a lot of times the, you know, maybe an older guy or another neighbor will just stop to let that guy have his first piece of ground, you know.
But that'll never happen online.
Right.
And we've said on the podcast before, Levi and I actually did purchase our first piece of ground last year and it did not go to an online auction. And we both know that there is absolutely no way we would have been able to buy that ground if it went to an online auction because there's for sure people that would have outbid us.
But God had a plan.
He did have a plan. And we are very thankful for said plan. Okay, moving on, Levi. This could go a couple of different directions, but let's talk about alternative energy. So that being wind energy and solar energy. You can talk about them as a whole, or you could choose one or the other, or tell us your thoughts.
You pick.
I want to know how you feel about wind and or solar energy.
Okay. So yeah, there's a mixed bag of feelings here. I realize that. I'm not per se extreme, you know, really for any of it or against any of it. I do understand that we can't just keep burning coal and, you know, things like that. However, I feel that, you know, if we are going to dabble in some of this technology and stuff, I think it should help the wind or the solar kind of support itself instead of government pumping billions of dollars mm-hmm. into a project and it like completely in the red. Like it should, you know, I don't agree with that. Like,
yeah.
No. So it's like, if they're going to do this, like, yeah, I know it's going to take some money to get it up and going, but like, if it is not even close to sustaining itself, like probably not a good idea.
A lot of it feels icky because I feel like ag, you know, it kind of takes, in the media anyways, the EPA defends that ag is not the biggest producer of greenhouse gas emissions or anything like that in affecting the climate. But the media likes to use ag as a target or a scapegoat. And then it's, this green energy, these wind turbines, they're just so great for the environment and they're so sustainable. Well, have you ever driven around rural America or seen how many semis it takes to get one wind turbine put up? Because I should have looked it up, but I'd say it's at least 10 oversized loads, if not more.
Probably. And I mean, yeah, you have a point there, but it's like, not only that, but like in X amount of years when they're shot and they're wore out, like there's hundreds of thousands of pounds and they don't know what to do with the parts because they can't really refurbish them. They're like shot. And So, but I don't know. I mean,
all of this transportation to put these wind turbines up. They literally just pollute the rural America landscape. They are just not cute at all. They just make the landscape look so terrible. And like Levi said, once they're done, they're done. They're not recyclable. If you don't know what we're talking about, just Google wind turbine boneyards, and there's aerial photos out there of these gigantic landfills just full of these old wind turbines because they're not recyclable. And so they're just getting dumped in a landfill, and it's literally sickening in my opinion.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't like that. I do like the idea of like trying to harness some wind power for electricity. Like I'm not, you know,
there's got to be a better way. If we're pumping so much money into it, I just feel like there has to be a truly better, more sustainable way that isn't impacting the environment in a negative way.
Yeah. Right. So if all y'all got some ideas, let the government
know. I have an idea. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Nuclear power.
You're probably right.
I'm not super well educated on it, but my brother does work in nuclear power. He was a Navy nuke. He went to nuclear power school in the Navy, helped run reactors on an aircraft carrier, and then now he works in nuclear power. And I feel like nuclear power kind of gets ignored, but it's actually very safe and has very little waste. If anybody's interested in hearing about nuclear power, we can surely have my brother on the podcast sometime. But it's just crazy to hear his point of view and how his job actually works and how little waste and how safe it really is, and then seeing all of these wind turbines end up in landfills and just polluting our environment that way. Do you have any thoughts on solar farms?
We need a lot of sun and no ice storms for a solar farm.
I could ask Levi this question, but I know he doesn't have the answer. Help me understand why these solar farms are going up in rural America. So now you're giving up farm ground for a solar farm that's supposed to be sustainable, renewable energy. Like, why can't we put these solar panels on top of existing buildings? That's what I don't understand. Why do we have to use hundreds of acres of farm ground literally just for solar panels?
You know, I don't know, but I feel like they're trying to harness a whole bunch of power in one area. And, you know, with buildings,
I mean, the sun shines everywhere.
I know, but it would be neat if like, yeah, if we're going to do that, like, okay, building A has got X amount of sheets on top of it to power itself, you know?
Cause even driving around, even in our neck of the woods, like there's big pig farms and chicken farms and different poultry barns, like huge barns. Like, why don't they pay those farmers to put solar panels on top of their barns instead of tearing up an 80 of ground? I realize it's not as much surface area, but at least it would at least be helpful. And then you're still saving farm ground. Like, we're already losing so much farm ground to urbanization every single day. It just seems kind of crazy to me that we're going to sacrifice more farm ground for solar energy when we could put the panels on top of something else.
Well, the corn price in the U.S. carryout says otherwise. We need to lose a little more farm ground.
I mean, that ebbs and flows. You know that.
I know.
And we had a high, a couple high years, and now there's a really long tail that we'll just have to buff out from.
At the end of the day, I do agree with Jenna. We need to keep being more efficient with what we have, and we're in like a real pivotal time where we really need to be stewards of the land and our environment, and you know, do more with less. And yeah, some of these things, this alternative powers, you know, we need something of it. We can't just rely on, you know, I don't know how long we can just keep burning coal, you know, like, you know, I get, we got to do something else, but like, we just need to make sure that we're getting the most out of all of our dollars that are getting invested into the, you know, the technology, and just make sure we're doing it in the right direction.
Like many things, it feels like somebody in an office in Washington, D.C. dreamed up this idea for alternative energy, but never actually traveled to the area and the land that's going to be affected by these new processes and new, quote unquote, sustainable energy ways. It just feels like maybe they should have visited the areas and spoken with the families and the farmers and the communities that might be affected by them. And maybe a better plan could have been initiated.
I agree.
Do you have anything else you want to add, Levi?
I don't.
Okay. Well, there's our hot takes on those three topics. Like I said, these are our opinions. You can take them or leave them, or message MP and I and tell us what you think about them. We'll be bringing more farmer hot takes to the podcast.
Or if someone has something that we want us to talk about, shoot it on over. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, give us our ideas. Or if you don't agree with what we said with, maybe shoot us your opinion too. Like, we'd love to have some open dialogue about it. So thanks so much for tuning in. Be sure to check every Tuesday for new episodes. You can follow MP and I. We have the links in the show notes. And then let us know if you want to hear from Josh and Levi a little more on these farmer hot takes.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I think as farmers, we're so busy, you know, planning for the crop, taking care of the crop, harvesting the crop, planting the crop. We kind of get, you know, engulfed in our work a little bit. And, you know, Jenna started talking about these things. I'm like, you know, man, I haven't given that a lot of thought because I'm just so busy, you know, taking care of my crop. I probably need to do a better job of, you know, staying educated with the news and what's going on, and, you know, just keeping up to date with stuff, because these things will be affecting, you know, me later, and for sure, you know, my boys, our boys and stuff, the next generation.
And if you don't stay educated and get your opinions out there and stand up for what you believe is right, somebody else in an office is going to make that decision for you.
Okay? And so we need this podcast to change the world.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming on, Levi. I sure appreciate you joining me tonight.
You bet.